Hi, this is Mac of Mac's List. Find Your Dream Job is presented by Mac's List, an online community where you can find free resources for your job search, plus online courses and books that help you advance your career. My latest book is called Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. It's a reference guide for your career that covers all aspects of the job search, including expert advice in every chapter. You can get the first chapter for free by visiting maxlist.org/anywhere. This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm Mac Pritchard, your host and publisher of Mac's List. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Lila O'Hara and Jessica Black from the Mac's List team. This week, we're talking about how to follow your calling in your career. Many people feel disconnected from work. One reason, says this week's guest expert, Lisa Zagarmi, is that we don't find our calling. Instead, we let the expectations of others shape the jobs we choose. Lisa says you'll be happier in your career if you follow your calling. She and I talk later in the show about how to do this. One of the toughest parts of a job search is getting clear about your career goals. Job boards offer you so many choices, and it's hard to resist applying everywhere. Lila has found a tool that can help. It's a career roadmap published by Rasmussen College. You can use it to figure out what you want, the skills you offer, and where to look. Lila tells us more later in the show. You spend 2 years getting a master's degree in education, but the experience makes you understand you don't want to teach for a living. How do you explain this to employers when you apply for non-teaching jobs? That's our question of the week. It comes from listener Daniel Willis in upstate New York. Jessica offers her advice in a moment. As always, let's start by checking in with the Mac's List team. And first up is Lila O'Hara, who's out there every week poking around the nooks and crannies of the internet, and she's looking on your behalf for websites, tools, books, anything you can use that can make a difference in your job search and your career. So no pressure there, Lila.
Yeah, no pressure at all.
Yeah. So it's been another week, and you're coming up out of the cavern, or those nooks and crannies, taking off the miner's hat. And what have you found for our listeners this week?
Yeah, this week I have found a really great resource, whether you're a new grad deciding what career path you want to take, or you're just in the middle of your career and you can't really decide where you want to go next. This resource should really help you out. It's from Rasmussen College, and they have this tool called a career roadmap. And it takes you through a 21-part Q&A that outlines the career that's best suited based on the kind of responses that you give. So the first step that you'll take is define your motivation, your goals, and your interests. Just taking a step back and thinking about, you know, what really motivates you and gets you out of bed in the morning and gets you all excited. What are the things that you're passionate about and the things that really interest you? And then what are the goals that you have? You know, what are the things you want to accomplish in your career? What are the things that are going to make you proud at the end of the day? Next, you'll take a look at your abilities, your personal preferences, your experience, your education, and your skills. These are kind of the larger picture things that'll kind of help you think about, you know, what are the things that you can bring to the table when you're looking for a job. Then you'll think about the industry, career stability, competition, and location. These are kind of things that'll come to you based on like what type of job you apply for, but it's also just good things to think about. You know, can you work in a job or in an industry where there's not a ton of career stability, or are you comfortable with that? Can you work in a really competitive industry, or do you want something that's a little bit less competitive? Finally, you'll think about the role in the organization more specifically. So this will make you think about your salary preferences, what type of working hours you ideally want to have, what work environment would be best for your career, and the culture and benefits that matter the most to you when you're looking for a job. And each step of this process comes with a series of questions and prompts that you can use to write down your answers and think about each category very specifically. And as you're going through this exercise, if you decide to do it, I think that it's really important to get specific with your answers because that will give you a really good sense of what careers are right for you. And each stepping stone on the map also comes with guided resources if you need more information on that category. Everything from salary help, you know, what kind of salary should you look for based on the career you're pursuing, to resources on company culture, like what company culture is typical based on the type of career that you're looking for. And even if you're not in the middle of considering a career change or thinking about changing your entire career path, I think that this exercise would be really beneficial for anybody that's looking for a job. Having focus in your job search is really one of the trickiest parts of searching for a job when there's hundreds of new job listings every day online. I know that I myself personally was very tempted to apply for everything that I came across when I was looking for a job earlier this year, just because there's so much out there. And I thought, oh, maybe I can make this work. Maybe that I can apply for this job just to check it off my list. But really, it's more valuable to only focus on the things that make the most sense for you. And I think if I had spent a few hours completing this exercise and defining, you know, what my goals are, what are my interests, what are the things that motivate me right from the jump, I think that would have been a lot better way to start my job search. And I would have just started with a lot more focus. So as you're doing your job search, think about, you know, what are the most important accomplishments you want to achieve in your career? Are the jobs you're looking for, do they match those personal goals that you have? And do you want to move forward in your career? Do you want to manage a team? Do you want to kind of take it to the next level? What are those like next steps you're looking for in your career? So taking a step back and looking at the big picture can really help regardless of where you are in the job search. And that way you know if the jobs you're applying for are going to help you meet those personal goals.
I really love this. I mean, we've talked a lot about this. Feels a lot like a personality sort of test, which I know it's not.
You love personality tests, don't you, Jessica?
I do. And yeah, we've talked about that a lot. And I am a big fan of all of that because it does, because of the same reasons I love this, of it's helping you get clear about what it is that you're looking for, who you are, how you operate in the world, all of those things. But specifically for this resource, I love this because it's less of a personality test and more of a I like that they use the word roadmap because it is sort of like putting all of this down in concrete form of kind of a guide for helping you when you are in those decision-making parts of your job search of like, oh, this job does sound really interesting, and you can use that as a reference to sort of look at like, oh, will this match my goals that I wrote down of what I'm actually looking for in my big picture life? And I do think that's really helpful. But I also think that doing these types of exercises, spending time doing the really focused big picture thinking is just really beneficial to help you be clear with yourself about what you're looking for. And I think, like you said, Leela, that it's beneficial for anyone in any stage of their job search or career development. I think it's even if you are really happy in your career and you are not looking for a job change, I think it's still a really good thing to sit down and just like check in about yourself, because that can help you decide how you are going to set goals for your next steps of growth, whether that's in that same company or kind of lateral moves or whatever that is. I think that it's never a bad idea to sit down and take time to think about what you're looking for and what your goals are and how to better keep growing and how to keep getting better. So I think this is great. I love it.
Yeah, I like this resource too. There are phrases frequent listeners will hear a lot on this show. One is, don't apply everywhere. You can't be everything to everyone, and your time is your most valuable asset.
Yes.
So think about those three principles, but it means saying no, and you need a strategy for saying no. And what you've shared gives our listeners a tool for doing that, because it takes them through a process that helps them get clear about where they want to go And it also helps them understand the things they don't want to do. Mm-hmm. So it is tempting. I mean, we've all been there. You look at the job board and there are all these great jobs and you think, oh, I could do that. I could do this. And mm-hmm. But in fact, you need to focus on your strengths and play to your strengths, and because that's what an employer is going to look for. And this helps you figure what those are and where you want to go and what you can give yourself permission to say no to. So cool tool.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm really glad that I found it because I think it just is really valuable.
Yeah, good. Well, thank you, Leela. And if you've got a suggestion for Leela, please write her. We'd love to share your idea on the show. Her address is leela@maxlist.org. Now let's turn to you, our listeners. And Jessica Black's been poking around the MaxList mailbag all week long. It gets bigger and bigger every week, doesn't it?
It actually really does. Yeah. I've been getting a lot of emailed questions, which is great. So thanks everyone. Keep sending them in.
Yeah, we're grateful. And whether it comes by email or old-fashioned postal mail or by the phone, it's
any way you want to send them, I'll take them.
Jessica's standing by. So which question did you pick this week?
We have a question this week from Daniel Willis, and he wrote us from upstate New York, and he let us know about his situation that he wanted some feedback about. He says, I just finished getting my master's degree in teaching. However, after 2 years of intense coursework and practicums, I realized that I don't really want to teach. How do I explain this drastic change in career direction to employers, especially right after investing so much time, money, and energy into a specialized education program? This is a fantastic question. It's a really tough one also because, like, what a conundrum, right? Of you have, like he says, he's spent a lot of time, energy, money, and it feels like a complete about face. And it is, so it's good to be able to know how to broach that conversation with employers. But I don't think that this is as big of an issue as maybe it might seem. And again, it goes back to having some messaging and having a narrative of why you made that decision, and ultimately knowing what you want instead. And so also I want to just address that it's really unfortunate that in this situation that there weren't more opportunities for Daniel to be able to recognize that teaching wasn't the ultimate goal before he invested those couple of years, because if perhaps there were more hands-on opportunities, things like that, and that's why I'm a big advocate for internships and volunteering and things like that. But sometimes you just have to go through the experience to know, and I'm definitely that type of a learner as well. I have to learn the hard way, so I understand this completely. But I also know that Daniel's probably feeling a little bit of a sense of failure, and I want to combat that. That it's not a failure. You have learned from this experience, and you can use that learning and that growth that you went through. It's your years in this educational program were not a waste because you came out of it knowing hopefully what you want to do instead, but especially that you don't want to do something very specific. And I would like to encourage Daniel to be clear about what kind of work he is seeking now. And I know I've talked about this a lot, about finding the common threads that you have in the positions and the opportunities that you've sought and pursued. And so taking some time to really think through what that thread of your quote-unquote career history has been, or even your educational history, or just the opportunities that you've pursued, find that thread so that you can identify that narrative and share that, you know, I learned that teaching wasn't right for me, but you know, it makes so much sense because of my history pursuing these other opportunities that this program only made me realize it more now. And so that's exactly what I would recommend, is being upfront about the fact that you did go through this program, And that teaching is not right for you. But again, use that as part of your story to tell how that decision and that experience and the eventual realization that you do not want to be a teacher has led you to figure out what you really do want to do, which again, ideally is the job that you would be applying for or somewhere in the same vein of what you are pursuing and applying for. And, you know, I also want to reiterate, like, don't carry this as a negative experience, because we've all done things that seemed like or sounded like a good idea at the time, or seemed like they would lead to something that would sort of quote unquote solve all your problems, be a long-term plan that once you get into it didn't pan out that way, you know? And I think that's okay. It's okay to sort of realize that the thing you thought was the right answer at the time is not anymore. And but again, I want to encourage, do use this to pull out what you do want to do and use that from your experience in grad school to figure out what made you excited in that program, because you made it through several years of a program, so there were things that you really, really enjoyed, and teaching isn't part of that, but figure out what areas it is that makes you excited and engaged and passionate, and identify those and pursue those, and again, use that as part of your narrative to explain to potential employers why you've made this quote-unquote drastic shift, and also back up why this new direction that you're going in is actually the right direction and how you've learned that. So what else would you guys recommend for Daniel in this position?
Yeah, I think you totally hit the nail on the head there. That was some, yeah, really great advice. I would also just add that, you know, there might be some skills that he learned from this program that he can mention in this interview process with these new employers. Like maybe it gave him a really great work ethic, or he learned some lesson about himself that has manifested, you know, itself in a certain way, and he has new skills to show for it.
Yeah,
kind of
definitely.
Focus on those or the positive part of the, I guess, experience instead of the negative of, oh, this didn't work out and, you know.
Right.
Like just having a positive approach and being passionate about it, I think that'll really come across well when he's interviewing at various companies.
Yeah, I agree. Pull out the things that you did gain from that experience and use those to tell that story. Yes.
And kudos to Daniel for finishing the program.
Agreed. I know. Yeah, I think that's great. That's a huge accomplishment.
It is. And it's not uncommon for people to enter either a graduate program or to pursue a degree as an undergraduate and decide at the end of that course of study it's not a good fit. But because they've reached that conclusion, chances are they've also figured out what they want to do next. And Daniel might be struggling with that, what is happening next. But I think your advice was spot on, Jessica. You need to explain why you did this originally, why you discovered it wasn't a good fit, and where you want to go next, and how that experience and his other things that he's done in his career have prepared him for that next store or that next opportunity and the jobs he will apply for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
So,
thanks.
And also I would add, I'm sensing Daniel's early in his career, but I think we all have seen those statistics that most of us will change careers,
yes,
not jobs, careers 4, 5, maybe even 7 times during the course of 4 decades in the workplace.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's a really good point, is that we're not in the era anymore of where a person stays in their career for 40, 50 years and never changes even the company. I've known, you know, my parents and my grandparents' eras, a lot of folks stay in the same organization even for 20, 30, 40 years. And that's just not the case anymore. And so, that's a benefit for Daniel especially, but I think all of us in this generation that really do enjoy the change and kind of determining what exactly we are looking for in careers. So,
yeah, the odds are good. Most of us will go through the kind of transition that Daniel faces now. And following the advice that you shared, whether it's you're coming out of a graduate program, or you're getting ready to switch careers or sectors. But following your advice, I think, will serve them well as they make that move.
Thanks.
Well, great. Well, thank you, Jessica. And thank you, Daniel. If you've got a question for Jessica, she'd love to hear from you. Her email is jessica@maxlist.org. We've got that listener in line we mentioned earlier. It's area code 716-JOB-TALK. We love to play recordings of questions on the air. Or post your question on the MaxList Facebook group. However you reach us, if we use your question on the show, we're going to send you a copy of Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. We'll be back in a moment, and when we return, I'll talk with this week's guest expert. It's Lisa Zagarmi, and she's going to talk to us about how to follow your calling in your career. I meet with thousands of job seekers every year, people who struggle to find meaningful, rewarding work that matters. I find that many of these people make the same simple mistake in their job search. It's a fatal error, and it makes the hunt for work longer and harder. What's this critical mistake? People don't have a clear job search goal. You might think it's wise to apply everywhere, but the more you narrow down your job search, the easier everything gets, and the happier you'll be in your next gig. So stop chasing every lead. Instead, put all your energy into the opportunities that you really want. Of course, setting your goals is easier said than done, especially when all you know is what you don't want to do. That's why I created a new resource that can help. It's called Finding Focus in Your Job Search. This free step-by-step guide will help you figure out what you want in your career and in your next job. To get Finding Focus in Your Job Search, visit maxlist.org/focus. Again, go to maxlist.org/focus. Now, let's get back to the show. Now let's turn to this week's guest expert, Lisa Zagarmi. Lisa Zagarmi is an organizational psychologist and an executive coach. She helps leaders relate more deeply, decide more efficiently, and think with more creativity. Lisa was one of the first 150 people to earn a master's degree in applied positive psychology from the University of Pennsylvania. Her corporate clients include Salesforce, Roche, and VMware. And Lisa is the co-author of Positivity at Work and a regular contributor to Forbes. She joins us today in the MaxList studio in downtown Portland, Oregon. Thanks for coming down.
I'm glad to be here, Mac.
Yeah, it's always great to, I love these interviews, but it's always great to do them in person.
I agree.
Yeah. Our topic this week is how to follow your calling in your career. So let's start, Lisa, by talking about what is a calling?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mac. Callings really are the mysterious pull that we feel to find a way for our unique strengths to serve the world. It's really not your conditioning, which I know we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show, but it's something that you would do or that you would work on no matter what. I also often tell my clients that it's something that makes you feel authentically connected to yourself and others. That's a calling.
And where do callings come from, Lisa?
Great question. You know, they don't come in the form of a huge epiphany. I think they come through quiet messages, Mac. When you are quiet, when you're connected, when you're really in flow, that's when you get hints about your calling.
So give us examples of either with yourself or with your clients where people have been in those situations and they've received those messages. What's happening? What are they doing?
Yeah, you know, they're aware of a creative impulse or a desire for self-expression that can't be masked. They're aware that what they're doing is really giving them energy, that it's serving the world. I think callings really beg us to get curious and sometimes to get brave. So, you know, I think that you're really in alignment when you're hearing your calling, right?
Do people sometimes not hear those messages or do they ignore them?
Absolutely. We ignore them all the time. And we really ignore them because of our conditioning. Our conditioning is the patterns and the standards and the roles that make up who we are, but they're really insufficient in terms of us making meaning of our lives.
I love the point you make about conditioning in your article on Forbes, because just to paraphrase, it's what conditioning is, what people, our parents, our colleagues, maybe our spouses, but the other people in our life expect us to do, isn't it?
It is, really. Yes, and they're useful to some extent, right? Our conditioning is the patterns that we run that have helped us become successful, and they're the roles that we play, but it's not all of us. And callings really are a bigger, better, higher expression of who we are.
And when we know our calling, how does that affect, how does that benefit our career or job search, Lisa? How does that help us?
Yeah, well, I think it helps you claim your narrative. I think it helps you work with your strengths rather than trying to protect yourself or others from your limitations. I think that knowing your calling puts you into hopefully a culture, a work culture, a job, and a position that is most aligned for you, where you can serve.
So you can do your best work.
You can do your best work.
Okay. How do you feel when you don't know your calling?
Oh, well, speaking from personal experience, I think you feel disconnected. I think you feel adrift. My clients that come to me, you know, sort of not knowing what their calling is, feel uncomfortable. They know that the ways that they're working right now, Mac, aren't right or don't feel good, but yet they don't know what they want to move towards. That's mysterious, and that also carries with it discomfort.
And sometimes have you found, Lisa, that when people have those uncomfortable feelings and because they don't know their calling, they're still enjoying professional success?
Yes, a lot of high performers can feel disconnected from their calling. Even though they're hitting their sales goals every month or they're delivering on the projects that they're responsible for, they can feel bored. They can feel, wow, I'm not really best utilized here. My strengths and gifts really aren't getting tapped.
So that's how you feel when you don't know your calling. And you talked about how when people do find it, they do their best work. Let's talk about how conditioning affects people in their careers and the career choices they make. What kind of problems do you see when people respond only to conditioning in making job choices?
I think they feel empty. I think they feel insufficient. I think they're constantly working against a narrative that says, I'm not enough. And that's a hard thing to wake up to every day, right? People want to feel utilized. They want to feel aligned. They want to feel like their unique gifts get to be expressed. And when your conditioning is running you, I think you're overly identified with the roles that you're playing, Mac. And you might be overly identified with the success metrics that are showing you that you're enough. But it's this endless cycle. So it sort of catches you.
You're always caught in this trap of proving your own worth, aren't you?
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's a treadmill. Do you find that people can get off, or do they have to do something different?
Absolutely, they can get off. And I think the first step in getting off the treadmill is slowing down.
Okay. Well, let's talk about how you find that calling. And I know you work with clients on this and you've written about it, both online and elsewhere. What's the first step, Lisa?
Yeah. The first step, as I said, is to slow down. It's to find a place and a space where you can decipher your calling from your conditioning, where you can parse those out and put them into two buckets, right? And I've found that for me, that's meditation. But for many of my clients, it looks like limiting input from social media. It can look like journaling. It can look like making intentional time to get into nature. so that they're really starting to disconnect from the conditioning and from the social cues and from the expectations and roles that they play and get more in touch with who they are.
And how long do you recommend people do that? Because again, the folks you describe who are caught in this cycle, they're high performers. I can see them listening and saying, okay, I'm making a list. I'm ready to check that off. How long do I need to do this and what happens next?
Oh gosh, I wish I had that answer. I think it's different for everybody. I don't think that there's a one size, Mac, and I'm sorry for that.
Oh no, that's okay. What kinds of steps do you see people take that make them successful in slowing down? You talked about practical steps. Does it really vary from person to person how long they need to do that?
It does really vary from person. It also depends on how long have they been uncomfortable, right? How bad has this gotten? And I find that people who are really uncomfortable are more apt to say, okay, time out. Let me see if I can remember more of who I really am so that the roles and the things that are overlaid on top of my daily experience aren't the things that are running me. You know, I always say to my clients, we are more than the roles we play and the patterns that we run. And that's what we're trying to get them in touch with. What's underneath that? What would you do no matter what, irregardless of being a mom or being a dad or being a sister or a brother or a caretaker? What would you do that? What would you give your heart and time to?
And when people find that answer, what happens next?
Well, I think it's helpful to do two things. One is to clarify your values, because I think clarifying your values gives you language for why that calling is yours. And it helps you sort of say, is my calling showing up in my days? Are my values things that are evident that I get to live every day? And for a lot of people, that's not the case. Their calling has been mysterious for a long time, and therefore they're not really in line with their values. A lot of people can't articulate their values, and then they therefore have a harder time living them. So I would say that's the next step after you've parsed your conditioning from your calling. And then after that, a really practical step would be to investigate your calling. Really experiment with intermediate solutions that strengthen your agency and confidence around it.
So you identify the thing you really want to do.
Yeah.
You understand what your values are, and then you go out and you do this experimentation. What does that look like? Are you job shadowing people? Are you doing information interviews? Are you volunteering?
All of those things. Perfect. Yeah. You're volunteering, you're interviewing, you're doing informational interviews, you're talking to trusted friends and colleagues about how you could live your calling, right? And I say that your values are the engine. They're the thing that powers your calling. Your calling's what you want to do. Your values are how you're going to do it.
What other questions should listeners ask themselves as they reflect on this and identify that calling and pursue that interest? What else do you recommend, Lisa?
You know, I think when we're going after our calling, it's just really important to say what gives you energy, what begs you to get curious, to get brave, to get connected, maybe, right? To get vulnerable. Those are all avenues into our calling.
You talked earlier about what you called flow, and I know that's a term psychologists use, and I think our listeners are familiar with it too. It's that state of mind where you're just, everything seems to come easy, doesn't it?
Yeah. Malay Csikszentmihalyi was one of my professors at Penn, and that flow state, he says, means that you have to be challenged. It's not that everything comes easy. It's actually that you are so engaged in the problem or the challenge at hand that you don't want to pull yourself away from it. Time just slips by. And callings should have that grit to them. They should have that toothiness, right? That you don't want to pull yourself away from it. You just want to get closer and closer to it. You want to solve the problem. You want to be the solution.
I found in talking to job seekers, and professionals in general, the people who find that flow state, and often it doesn't come that often in a career, but when they do, they again do their best work, and they're at their happiest, aren't they?
They really are at their happiest. And you know, I think what's important about flow, which Millay always talked about, is it's a practice. You can actually reach flow more frequently if you are in touch with your calling. If you're saying, I'm going to practice my values, or I'm going to practice what I want to do every day so that those moments of flow are more available to me.
Great. Well, it's been a terrific conversation, Lisa. Now, tell us what's next for you.
Thanks for asking, Mac. I'm about to do a podcast pilot with another positive psychologist friend of mine and also another big podcast producer. And we're looking forward to Daily Allowance coming out in early September. It's the podcast where we talk about the self-care practices that help people stay free and open and their best selves.
Well, I'm guessing that will be on iTunes when it goes live.
We hope it will, yes.
And I know people can learn more about you and your work by visiting your website. That's lisazagarmi.com. And we will send out show notes with the URL to your website and the articles that you've written on this topic and the other resources you've mentioned.
Perfect, Mac. Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, thanks for coming to the studio. Take care, Lisa.
Thanks.
We're back in the Max List studio with Jessica and Leila. What are your thoughts about my conversation with Lisa?
Well, she had great energy. It was so good to have her in the studio. Like you said, Mac, it's always all of our conversations are all of the interviews are great, but it's always the energy that is produced by having someone in the studio is just so great. And especially her conversation around using energy to figure out what your steps, your next steps in your career development should be. It was just hit home so much more because of that. What struck out to me was the fact that it's just beneficial to talk about these types of things, because a lot of times I think people can be going through their day-to-day and not really realize that they're feeling flat, like she mentioned. Kind of, she gave a good example of like a high performer who's hitting all of their marks, and they may not completely realize that the reason that they are feeling empty or not quite engaged is because they're not in the right career that they should, even though they're excelling in their, in the top areas of their career that looks like success to some people. But it is successful. She talks about that conditioning side of things of that's what society expects. And that's, a certain aspect of what success looks like. And there's another component where you are fully engaged and you're able to be whole and in your flow state and all of that type of thing. And, I thought it was really beneficial to hear about that, and I liked what she talked about the how are your values and how is it showing up in your day to day, and that's sort of a good way to recognize when you are in when you have found that space that you feel like is your calling, or I think it's an interesting concept because I think it's really hard to define, I think everybody wants to
It find, is hard to define.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody wants to find their calling. And
we all struggle with setting goals and
absolutely
and getting clear about our calling.
Yeah. And it's just a good primer. And I really liked her focus and her encouragement on taking that quiet time to really take a step back and think about it and get clear about those goals.
Yeah. So. I've found that the people who do figure that out, and it's hard to do. It takes
it really
work
is, yeah.
And
yeah.
You may not get it right the first time, but when you do and you find yourself doing your best work and you're in a place where you think to yourself, I was meant to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You're not only happy, but I think you're most productive. And I've personally, I have had that experience a number of times in my career, and I think, wow, I'm in the right place.
That's great.
And I find that the people who do figure out what those goals are and what their calling is, do enjoy that. But it takes effort.
It does. It takes a lot of quote unquote missteps of trying out various
experimentation.
That's not a bad thing. And no. We talked about that earlier in the podcast of that's a lot of how you figure it out. So yeah. I think that's great.
Layla, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. Just to piggyback off of what Jessica was saying, I really liked what she had to say about how your calling can help you claim your narrative, kind of owning your career story and what you're passionate about and what your strengths are, just working with those. I think one phrase that really stuck out for me was when she said, your values are your engine. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good way to think about it. Like, those are the things that are kind of kickstarting, what your career is going to be and what your calling is. So just kind of having those in the back of your mind as you're thinking about, this big picture kind of nebulous thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. And, going back to the setting goals kind of thing of taking that quiet time to determine what those values are so that you are,
right.
And going back to your resource that you shared earlier about having sort of a roadmap of being able to check in with that as you're going through and kind of just knowing.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Well, I agree about the importance of values as well, because how we spend so much of our time at the workplace, and we want to make sure that we do reflects what's important to us. And values can take a lot of different forms, but it's important that we know what they are because they do inform both our satisfaction with our work and our performance. Well, thank you both. And thank you, Lisa, for joining us today. And thank you, our listeners, for downloading today's episode of Find Your Dream Job. Now, if you'd like more ideas for following your calling, check out my goal setting resource. It's called Finding Focus in Your Job Search. You can download it for free, and it's a step-by-step guide to setting goals, and you can find it on our website. Just go to maxlist.org/focus. Again, that's maxlist.org/focus. And join us next Wednesday when our special guest will be Kirk Ballman. He's the founder of Campus to Career, and he's going to talk about how to stand out as an intern. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.